so often we have a hard time understanding the Old Testament prophets. With that said, Elisha and Naaman's story stirred a curiosity for me to delve a little deeper into just what the role of the prophets are. In both Christian and Islamic traditions, prophecy continues to be very important. We know Jesus and John the Baptist as prophets throughout the Gospels, and we're familiar with the Old Testament prophets. Our English word prophet comes from the Greek word, which literally means spokesperson. This expresses the understanding that the prophets were delivering divinely sent messages using words or revealing visions that had come to them from God. John the Baptist, you remember, was preparing the way for Jesus. People often thought he was the Messiah, and he said, "No, I am preparing the way in proclamation and pronouncement." He would say this. Scholar Eugene Peterson instructs that the prophets used words to remake the world, heaven and earth, men and women, animals and plants and birds. They were first made by God's word. And as prophets arrive on the scene, they find a world that's in ruins, a world of moral rubble and spiritual disorder. We can say, really, that this extends into our current day as well, and we can quickly observe that we still have the same conditions of men in our modern-day world. Their words that are divinely received take up the work of words again to rebuild what human disobedience and mistrust have demolished. And their speech is learned by God. Their words are God-grounded, God-energized, and God-passionate. As their words enter the language of our communities, men and women find themselves in the presence of God, who enters into the mess of human sin for that rebuilding and that renewal. And often you'll see people using their whole life to do this in mission work and in Christian work. But yet, if we're left to ourselves, we can turn God into an object out there, something we can deal with, or someone we can use for our own benefit. Whether that is a feeling or an idea or a prayer or a need or a want, but prophets scorn at all this stuff. They train us to respond to God's presence and voice. So when I came to understand this, I think it'll help me to read the Old Testament a little bit better, kind of keeping my focus on their presence and voice in the Old Testament. They help us to be alerted to the voice of God into the world of presence. And often, this moves beyond our sensory experience towards love and compassion and acting in our lives accordingly. Some modern-day prophets that I think of include the Dalai Lama, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, Martin Luther King, and you can probably think of more yourselves as you stop to ponder on this. We have many modern-day prophets. But in today's Old Testament lesson, Elisha is the prophet sending Naaman, a leper, to go, wash, be made clean. They often give commands. Naaman was a celebrity of sorts. He was wealthy, distinguished. He was a military leader that was favored by the king, so he thought the king was going to offer him this favor. But at the same time, he was a leper, and that changed everything. So all of his money, all of his power, all of his wealth couldn't heal him of the most dreaded disease of the ancient world. To hear Elisha's command to Naaman, that was offensive to him because he had the sin of human pride, his ego, and it caused him to reject God's offer through Elisha's words. He became angry, at which point he wouldn't respond to anything. He just kind of shut down. And his saving grace only occurs as he's able to make a shift, to turn about and to become obedient, to become humble and obey. And this only came after an unknown Israelite slave girl told him, just go and wash in the Jordan River. Just go and do it. Well, one of the takeaway lessons from the story of Naaman is that God meets us where we are. No matter how feeble or perhaps how misguided our faith might be, he's looking for that one turnabout, that one change that's going to show him that we believe in him, that we believe in his existence, that we believe in his power. And the rest, God will deal with over time. Well, moving forward to our gospel lesson today, Jesus was on the border between Galilee and Samaria, and he was met by a band of 10 lepers. We know that among them was a Samaritan, at least one, but yet they were among Jews. And in this band, that's not a common element where these people normally come together. So we get to see this great law of life that's unfolding in this story. It's a common misfortune that had broken down the racial and national barriers in this story, and in the common tragedy of their leprosy, those distinctions went away. They were no longer Samaritans or Jews, but their common thread, their common identity together was that of being lepers, and they were men in need. So a fact of nature, which is really interesting, is that if a flood, if it surges over, say, a piece of desert or something, there's wild animals that will congregate there. They'll find a piece of land that they can survive on so that they won't drown, and they stay there for higher safety on that ground. But you'll find them peacefully standing together, as animals do, that are even natural enemies, that at any other time would do their best to kill each other. And surely one of the things that should draw all people together is their common need for God. So the lepers, they stand far off. And there isn't really a specified distance that they should stand, but we know from authority that it was laid down that when you were windward of a healthy person, you would keep a distance of at least 50 yards away. And nothing better would really demonstrate the isolation for a leper more than that, to have to live outside the margins of society. Reflection on this gospel shows it to be poignantly demonstrating the ingratitude of humans. The lepers, they came to Jesus with this desperate longing. He cured them. And 9 never came back to say thank you. So often, we humans, as I thought about it, once we get what we want, do we ever go back and say, oh goodness, thank you, thank you. We may be ungrateful to our parents. There was a time in our lives when a week's neglect could have literally killed us. Of all living creatures, human beings take the longest to be able to meet the needs essential to life. So we have years of dependency on our parents for literally everything. Yet the day often comes when an aged parent is a nuisance and many young people are unwilling to repay the debt that they owe to them. Often another example is that we're ungrateful to one another. Few of us have not at some time owed a great deal to another person. Few of us in the end satisfy the debt of gratitude that we owe. It can happen often through a friend, a teacher, a doctor, a surgeon who does something for us which is impossible to repay. We can't do it. But the tragedy is that we don't even often try. At this point, I laid my pen down and thought about this and thought, oh my goodness, Betsy, you better get on your letter writing to your breast surgeon that took care of you 6 years ago, leaving clean margins and a bill of health moving forward, a favorable health outcome that I had not even acknowledged him for, even though he's 2 hours away from me. And it should not have taken me this long an amount of time to construct a note for sure. but time and distance can give us perspective and sermon preparation. So I will be getting on it as soon as I can. Often, though, we are ungrateful to God. In times of bitter need and our desperation, we can pray with fervent intensity, and the time passes by, things settle down, and we forget God. Many of us never even say grace before meals, thanking God for the food that's before us, the people that prepared it. And God gave us his only son, Jesus, to whom we rarely offer thanks. The best thanks we can give him is to try and deserve his goodness and mercy a little better in our lives. May we hear the prophets who remind us and make real for us the power and presence and promise of God. Most of all, may we know the Good Shepherd, hear his voice, and attend to his call, welcoming all into community and responding to God's hopes and dreams. And now, to God, whose power working in us can do much more than anything that we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forevermore.